This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your technology, business, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving more today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. And by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing. Powered by rechargeable batteries, it's the perfect way to stay warm. Save 15% off your order when you go to action-heat.com/TMS. That's action-heat.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, Godless is a godsend.
Brian had knife training.
Assault with sandwich.
That's a lot of bologna.
Maybe you could fight off an assault with sandwich with a knife training.
Yeah. With a lot of bologna and a knife.
There you go. Gotta get them nuggets.
With a knife. What's in your bag?
Major spoilers.
The Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Sit down, Mr. Diamond. In a nice soft chair? Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't do that, Lieutenant. I've gotten so used to that bench outside, sort of grown to fit it, you might say.
Oh, now, Rick, I'm sorry, but there was nothing I could do about it.
Mr. Diamond, Lieutenant.
Yeah, you sure know how to make an entrance, Danny boy.
Now, all I have is a mission. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. This is TMS, and I just stopped the live stream for no good reason. So,
okay, good. I was wondering, everybody's like, wow, that was a short episode.
Yeah, I went to start the show, or I went to start the recording and instead hit the button that says stop streaming instead of start recording. And that's why both, so people watching the YouTube right now are like, whoa, what happened to the intro? Well, you didn't get it because I didn't start recording. And for those who didn't see the stream, it's because I stopped streaming and you didn't get to see that. So there you go. Legacy podcast. Legacy podcast.
Yes, exactly. Bingo card pod fading.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah, well
that
done.
That joke never gets old.
Nope. It's like a fine cheese. Speaking of fine cheese, it's me, Scott Johnson, with Brian Ibbett, and it is Monday, December 4th, 2017. It's time to do the show. And had a nice weekend, although it's snowing today. So if you don't have that yet, I'm sure it's on its way to you.
It is on its way. I think we get that Wednesday. I saw on the 9-day mountain cast, I saw flurries. I think we're already getting it up at Eisenhower Tunnel.
Oh, that's cool. You have a tunnel named after Dwight Eisenhower?
We do. It's a long, like it's a tunnel that takes like 4 or 5 minutes to go through. It's a long tunnel.
Yeah. I don't want to summarize his presidency in one phrase, but it seemed a little boring, sure. You know? Like, I know he was there at the tail end of, what war did he finish up to, was it? World War II?
World War II, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, Scott? Right now, I think I'd take boring.
Yeah, I'd take it.
Maybe there's a little too much excitement with the current administration. Boring actually sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, I'd take a little Dwight D. in my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
I got to get that Dwight D. all up in here, son. I say he was boring, but like he's literally the one man on the planet who has ever ordered and carried out a nuclear strike.
Oh, right. And Vietnam strike. And Korea. That's right. Both...
Were they his wars as well?
Under his watch, yeah.
Oh, geez, gosh, dang it. Oh, wait, no, Vietnam wasn't his, was it? I thought that was Johnson or, Kennedy. Wasn't that a Kennedy deal?
I'm looking at the chat room here, because I don't want to get my dates wrong here.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know nothing. What do they know? They don't know Jack Poo. Let's see. Vietnam, president during Vietnam War.
Well, there were several because if you watch that documentary, the Ken Burns thing, that we only got through four or five of them before it got pulled from PBS's app. But I think there's other ones I can watch it.
There are alternative methods.
I can probably freaking pay for it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Just buy it by episode. Oh, here it is. President John F. Kennedy sent military advisors and then troops into South Vietnam after Kennedy's assassination. What to do about Vietnam War became the pressing matter of business for the new president, Lyndon B. Johnson. So it was Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Kennedy, Johnson. Eisenhower, I think, was also, he was more connected to the Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah. like the early stuff.
The early stuff, yeah.
The stuff exactly. that sort of stoked the fire.
Aggravated it. Yep, yeah, exactly.
Poked people anyway. With a stick in places that were supposed to be private. Mm-hmm. Like their vaginas. Anyway, hey.
Yes, excellent.
I have some great news for everybody. I finished that their Godless series on Netflix, and it's up there with my favorite Westerns of all time. And because it's a limited series and only 7 hours long, seven episodes is all. Mm-hmm. It is like just a big long movie, and I loved every second of it. I freaking cannot say enough about it. It's absolutely worth watching. I don't care who you are. Now, it's great.
Let me ask. Well, here's my question, actually, specific to that. As someone who is not a big Western buff,
right?
Will I still enjoy it? I mean, I guess I enjoy Deadwood.
You like Deadwood a lot, right?
Tremendously, yeah.
Yeah, I think what you're going to like about this is what I know about you, Brian, is that you enjoy and like a good story. You like good characters, mm-hmm. and you like good, well-made TV, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Except all that reality shit you watch. Except for all of that, but
all of that. Let me break it down. All right, so it's Survivor, yeah. Big Brother,
yeah.
Hell's Kitchen,
yeah.
Amazing Race.
Yeah, is that all? Is that everything?
For me, that's it.
Okay.
Tina May branch out into housewife shows.
Yeah,
but listen. It's that experience and knowledge about reality shows. You know, I guess we haven't talked about it on here. I talked about it on the cover-thon, but I'll just be super, super brief because I know we got Dunaway coming. We got more to talk about.
Sure.
But I announced it during the cover-thon that So You Think You've Got the Talent to Be America's Next Top Podcasting Idol is coming mm-hmm. early 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The project had taken 12 podcasters, 12 wannabe podcasters, down to one with prizes and goodies and all that stuff.
And Brian out living out his reality star.
Exactly, getting to be the reality star that I've always wanted to
right.
be. Exactly right.
Which I think
getting
is
to be
great.
The Jeff Probst that I've always wanted to be.
Yeah, and I'm here to witness it. I'm excited. I'll get to be a judge. I get to be the Randy.
That's right.
Not Randy Travis.
You're
going to
be the Randy Jordan, the Randy Jackson.
There's too many Randys.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I said, "Way to go, dog"? It was a good performance.
Yeah, but he just said it in Spanish and then got mad when you pronounced it wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, by the way, raiding with him. I did raid with him last night, but also raided with him Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And he made some comment about, what was it? Or he said, don't worry, I'm off microphone right now because I'm wolfing down my food.
And, so he knows.
And then he said, I need to make sure to summon my wolf. And it was based on the stuff that we said earlier that day about how he and Nicole both say wolf instead of wolf.
We know he listens. Well, that's why we poke these jabs in there, Randy. It's fun.
Exactly.
It's a good time. And you did say woof for most of your life, and now you've changed
right.
it. I say both.
And no,
I
he say, still says woof.
Oh, he still
says said woof. Yeah, he said woof on... during a recent film sack, like within the last couple weeks.
Oh, wow. All right, well, see, yeah. It's hard. I understand. It's like saying wait instead of wait. It's hard for me.
You know? And I'm fine with him saying wolf.
Yeah, the wolf man. You can say the wolf man.
Exactly.
Godless. It's great, and it's for people who like really well-constructed dramas and characters and actors and filming and things. It's just great. I loved it. Loved every second of it. And I wish there were going to be more of it, but it's a one-off. It's a freaking seven-episode limited series, which means it is now in the running for next year's Emmys. Or not Emmys. Grammys? Emmys, sorry. Yeah,
Emmys. Emmys are the television stuff.
In the running for Emmys. Yeah, for the short-run stuff, for whatever they call that. What do they call
it? Well, okay, let me go a step further. Let me ask another question here. Yeah. Let me pose another query.
All right.
So it is a self-contained thing. I'm not going to get into this, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, by the way, it's going to be continued next season. This
no,
is like a
one-time deal.
Self-contained. Okay.
Yeah. Limited run, limited series. It's like a mini-series, basically.
Okay, then I think I'm in.
Those
are the two things. Like if it's gonna make me feel as happy as Deadwood made me feel, gosh, mm-hmm. that show just filled me with so much joy.
Well, see, and I have some good news for you because Deadwood had had some moments of levity, it was a pretty dark show and I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved Deadwood.
Was.
But mm-hmm. this has more optimism in it. This is less dark. There's plenty of dark, don't get me wrong. In fact, there's a lot of dark, and freaking Jeff Daniels is a force to be reckoned with, man. I don't know what's going on there, but
Jeff Daniels is in there.
Oh, dude, Dahmer has never done better work.
I guess he was Harry.
No, he was. Oh, you're right.
He was Lloyd. No, Lloyd Christmas was Lloyd Christmas was Jim Carrey.
Right. So Harry he was Harry.
Jeff Daniels.
So Dahmer, we call him. He is a monster in this. Just so good. Oh my gosh.
Okay. All right.
This ain't the way I go. Oh, he's so good. Everybody's good, and there's heart to it. There's darkness to it. There's light to it. The kid that plays this little Indian kid is the coolest little kid actor. Michelle Dockery is amazing in it.
From the Downton Abbey. Yeah. Right. Okay, I'm in.
All right, you know the nurse lady from Nurse Jackie? That's not Nurse Jackie, but the kind of funny, bumbling,
the tall
one.
British one.
No, the little kind of chubby, funny one. The one that was.
Oh yeah, the younger. Yeah. The one that's under her charge.
Yes.
Yes.
She's in it, and she's equally. Like amazing. Everybody's just great. I can't say enough about it. Sam Watterson, everybody. They're all good. So watch it. Godless. It's amazing.
All right.
You know that short that everybody complained about that was on before Coco, the yes. stupid Disney dude.
I'm so excited to hear this. This actually made my day hearing this.
Yeah. Olaf's Frozen Adventure, the 20-minute, you heard me right, 20-minute. That's not a short, by the way. I wouldn't call it a short. That's a long. They were putting this long in front of Coco, which Coco, by all accounts, is the greatest thing ever. And this other thing is terrible. And people have complained up and down. So they are now reportedly dropping it, which is great because I still haven't seen it and I'll probably see it tomorrow. They're dropping it from the thing. So you don't have to go see that anymore.
Thank goodness. Yeah, boy, Steven Schleicher had plenty to say about that.
Yeah, he didn't like it. He was
did not hold with it, bub.
Yeah, displeased him.
But it's funny how Disney's almost saying we meant to do that. Like, I mean, the article, the Vanity Fair article that you linked to says that Disney's comment was, our plan was always just to have it in there for Coco for a couple weeks and then not have it in there anymore.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that's not my weed, Dad. I'm holding it for a friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or I didn't write that tweet. My lawyer did.
I didn't write that tweet. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was my lawyer did it. It wasn't me. Right. My lawyer uses horrible English. Anyway.
Fall on your sword. Fall on your sword for me.
I require it. Anyone loyal to me has to fall on their own sword.
Believe me, I have the sharpest swords.
This one will go clean through.
Believe me.
You'll hardly feel it. It'll just go right through your heart. And the funny thing is it's probably dull and blunt and...
Right. And rusty.
Shitty. Sure. Made in China.
Overpriced and...
Yeah, and bad. But gold and gaudy. It'll be that.
Sure.
Anyway, they said this. This is Disney, said to Entertainment Weekly. Disney had scheduled Olaf's Frozen Adventure for a limited theatrical run, planning to remove it from theaters after a few short weeks anyway. Quote, this was always promoted as limited run, so it's not really a story. The end of our Olaf theatrical play is coming up next week, says a Disney representative. All our ads and messaging called it as such. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys might be yanking my chain a little bit there.
I don't ever remember seeing anything about that being a limited run. So here's the question. Do they have a substitute Pixar deal that they'll put in front of it?
Oh.
Or will you sit down, lights go down, and boom, starts Coco?
Well, I mean, I would watch one of their old ones, no problem. I feel like it's a little weird to have a Pixar movie without a short in front of it because they've always done
totally,
that.
Yeah.
But I'll bet they just, it's naked, I'll bet.
That's the thing. That would, if it was that, like if they had a little, a new short they put in there, I'd almost believe that they had planned this the whole time. If they don't, then I call BS. I call BS.
I'm going to call BS now. You guys are full of it. Anyway, so there's that. Brian, tell me about knife training.
Yeah, so Saturday morning, well, early afternoon, Tina and I went to Sur-le-Table. Now, this is actually something that that we'd actually been wanting to do for over a year. And we were in the process of getting things scheduled when we found out about Tina's cancer. And so we kind of put things off. But we'd wanted to take some classes at the local Sur La Table, or as most folks call it, Sur La Table.
What is this place?
As it should be, as it should be pronounced.
It's not like a restaurant, is it? It's like a
It's a really good kitchen store. Like anything you could possibly need or want for your kitchen, gadgets and cookware and knives and all this stuff. It's a little on the expensive side, but I think it's cheaper than Williams Sonoma, which I put at the top end. Or was it Williams Sonoma?
I think it's Williams Sonoma, which I
put at the high end of the.
The
top end of the price spectrum.
Yeah, Kim loves
that. But they offer classes at some of their locations, including a really good knife training class that my stepmom took and recommended to us. And you learn how to take care of your knives. Boy, I've been. You learn how much stuff you've been doing wrong this whole time. Like how to take care of your knives. I thought, all right, well, you're just supposed to keep them sharp by sharpening them regularly.
Right.
No. You hone them. So you you know that thing in your butcher block or in your knife or in your drawer that you never use that looks like a rod with a handle.
Like the sharpener deal, or I always thought it was a sharpener.
It's a sharpener, right. But it's a honer, and what that actually does is keep the edge. It's funny. There's a difference between honing and sharpening. If you keep the edge honed, you don't have to worry about sharpening it as often. And really, you should only be sharpening your knives once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But you hone it. And so you just go zip, 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 zip. Do that every time you use it. Wipe it down with a cloth. You get the little metal shavings, the little tiny metal shavings off of there. And that thing will cut like magic every single time.
Yeah, and you don't want metal shavings in your life.
No, bad thing to eat.
Yeah.
Learned how to cut an onion, and I always thought the chef way to cut an onion is to do that cross section cut on one side of it and then go, you know, chop, 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 and that automatically dices it. No, yeah. We learned like what you do is you keep the root end on so it holds all the layers together.
Okay.
And then you cut what's the best way to describe it? Basically, you cut with the indentations on the onion. So, like, if you were looking at the front of the onion, the opposite side where you cut the bulb off, you'd be cutting it like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 12, and cutting at that angle towards the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go chop, 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 and it's like, it's a diced onion in like 10 seconds, and it's amazing.
Wow, look at you, dude. This is a cool thing to learn.
It was a great class, and you're cooking, but here's the cool thing, is you're also eating. Like, you're making roasted red pepper hummus because you're learning how to cut a red pepper the right way. You're learning how to cut onions, so you're making pico de gallo and jalapenos and tomatoes and stuff like that.
Huh.
It's like, it's really, really good class. Totally worth it. So if there's anybody out there who's trying to think of some fun, clever present for their significant other, treat them to a knife class or any of the classes at Sur La Table.
So what do you pay for something like that? Is it expensive?
I think it was about $100 for the two of us.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
No, not for a special one-off thing.
There's, if you really want the whole romantic thing, then you can do the, they have like a Paris Bistro cooking class where you cook a bunch of things and then you eat them and it's like super, you know, cool and romantic and stuff.
Knife play. I like it.
But it's a cool gift because you're giving it to somebody else, but you're doing it together.
Oh, that's just adorbs, really.
And it's just the way you should be doing it. So
all right, knife training, get on it, everybody, and make that a part of your life.
There you go. Icker helps out here. Sharpening is grinding the blade, honing is uncurling the blade. So perfectly stated.
Oh, very interesting. All right. This honing thing is news to me. This is all new, brand new world.
Yeah, you want to hone every time you use the knife.
All right. Well, I'm into honing. Dunaway, can you hear us? He's not here yet. I don't know how to tell in this new thing when someone has joined. Is it easy to tell? Because I guess it doesn't ring him, or does it?
No, it still shows his picture. Which apparently he was looking at a different camera. Oh, there he goes.
Oh, it does say ring. So he is getting
does
some...
Does he know we're using this today this?
Yeah, I talked to him last night. Okay. Him and Daryl. So here's a little fun inside baseball for everybody. Transitioning most of the hosty hosts to using Discord because Skype can kiss my butt. And they're buttholes, and I don't like them. Oh, he's in now. Oh, hi. Hello, how are you?
Oh, hi.
Oh, he's nice and loud. I'm going to turn you down. Hi, what's going on? Hey, wait, hold on. I got this for you. Hold on. It's time to play a little bit of Stump Dunaway, and he's here with us now. Hi, Stump Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott. Am I too loud still?
Nope, I adjusted you down. You're totally fine.
That's
what's nice, too, except you're getting wind, but that's okay. You outside?
Wind? Yeah, yeah.
That's all right.
How about now?
Totally fine.
Still a little hot, but that's all right.
Yeah, you're fine. Are you
outside? You know, I'm just experimenting a little bit.
It's all right. Experiment away. That's what life's about. Are you outside? Are you at work? Like, what are you doing?
I am outside.
You got a nice windy breeze.
It's like one
of
those news reporters that they put like into the hurricane.
Oh, the humanity!
Yeah. Oh, Bill.
I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly.
Bill, I can see from here the hurricane. The eye is coming over us now, but it's fine. You can do whatever you need to do. Oh man,
there's still several people out here on the beach running. I can't believe they're out here. But let's talk to one of them, sir. What are you doing out here still?
As you can see, these cars are at least 2 feet underwater each. It's just bedlam, the humanity. Anyway, hey, it stopped. It stopped blowing. There.
I'm standing right next to the glass factory during this hurricane. And
there. How's that?
Much better. Much better. I can now see the light. The rain
is gone. I was trying to get to my portable studio, a.k.a. my car.
Yeah, your car. I get you. I'm totally with you. I know what you're saying.
So I have a separate volume for him, right? So the volume I'm hearing him at is not the volume you're hearing. Oh, look at that. No, because you probably adjusted him down. He was still at 100% for me, so I just took him down.
Yeah, I take him down. So I guess
took
we both...
Him down,
I'm taking
volume
you down.
I guess we both have control over that. If you want to play, you still call the number, 801-285-9395. That's 801-285-9395. We'll take you through the old way, but we'll hear you through here, and we'll see if you guys can win some prizes today. Before we get to all that, though, before somebody calls in, Brian Dunaway, that is, did you... Oh, what was I going to ask you? Shoot, I had a real thing to ask you, and it was like a big deal. Ah, damn it.
Did I poop my pants?
No.
The answer is no.
Did you?
Nope, I made it just in time.
Wow. Okay, we're going to answer it. Jeez, I hate that it does that. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Paul. I'm also known as Mush Potatoes in the chat room.
Oh, we love a good
Mush
Potatoes.
Welcome to the morning bedlam.
Yeah, welcome to that. It's good to have you here, Mush Potatoes.
Mush Potato.
Where are you? You sound like you're driving somewhere.
Yeah, I'm on my lunch break right now. I'm going to get some coffee. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. You should eat more than that, though.
Oh, where are you going? Are you going to the corporate America's Starbucks, or are you going to a little
listen to the social justice warrior here.
Yeah, here we
don't
go.
I go to Starbucks.
I'm going straight to Starbucks.
All right. There's nothing wrong with Starbucks.
I go to Starbucks, but I also go to my local coffee shop. I go to both.
I have friends who don't like Starbucks because they tell me that everything Starbucks makes tastes burnt. Do you guys agree with that or not?
Well, they do. A lot of the stuff they do is a darker roast, which is roasted longer. I like that. I prefer something that is more bitter because if you don't roast them long enough, they taste sour. Yeah. And I'm down with that.
Okay. As you know, I'm not a coffee liker. I don't like it. I think it tastes like ass. But I do like, you know, those little candies that you get that are like a little coffee candies your grandma used to have? I like those. And
Werther's, right? Or, I guess Werther's are.
Well, Werther's has a coffee flavor, I think. But.
I think you're thinking more like black coffee. What I drink is more espresso. It's like half cream, half coffee, espresso beans, a lot of sugar.
Yeah, sugar. Oh, look at you guys said sugar at the exact same time. That must mean something.
Here's a good recommendation for you. Order their toffee almond milk hot chocolate and then have two or three shots of espresso added to it.
That's good, huh?
Here's the suggestion. Don't tell me what to order from Starbucks.
That's amazing.
Fair enough. I'll have to try that, though. I'll have to try that.
All right. Let us know how it goes. All right. We may as well jump in here. We play a little game on Mondays and Wednesdays. Brian Ibbett will explain the rules and the prizes. Brian, how's this work?
That is correct. Mush Potatoes, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is a number. We're then going to turn to you after Brian Dunaway gives his very well thought out guess. We're then going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win from me a Wonder Woman desk clock. This is actually a really cool desk clock that's in the shape of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Really cool. So cool. I'm giving it away.
Is it literally in the shape of Wonder Woman, or is it like
it is literally in the shape of Wonder Woman?
Wow.
Like, she is there. She's got the time on her chest is what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, all she's right, Wonder Woman. Right. What do you expect? She got a visible jet and a fancy rope.
Exactly. In addition to that, you're also going to get a code for the game Cave Blazers from Steam. Courtesy of Scott Johnson.
That's right.
A great combo prize.
Yeah, good combo prize for you there. What is our topic today?
Our topic today is Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch, a video game. I know that one.
A video game.
Yeah, I play that one on the regular. I like that game. Well, here's your question.
I can do that.
Yeah, you can totally do that. Here's your question, Brian Dunaway. Overwatch has a bunch of extra cosmetic items for each of the characters in the game. These include skins, sprays, voice lines, and so on. How many total, as of today, how many total cosmetic items are there in the game for all the characters combined? And I will give you a hint.
Crap.
Here, I'll give you a hint, okay? The hint is,
right,
it's a lot.
Exactly. It's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between a little and an F-ton.
And an F-ton.
And a whole buttload.
That's right.
What is it?
Hold on. A metric F-ton and a buttload, are they roughly the same?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, okay. One's metric, the other is King's units.
King's units. Imperial, right.
Imperial.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the King's units.
I like the King's units. That's pretty
good.
It was
my favorite Colin Firth movie.
He's such a handsome man. Anyway, so what do you think there, buddy?
So no delaying, because this is an educated guess, I guess, somewhat. I play Overwatch, but I pretty much stay within, you know, a three or four characters. And so I don't know the whole number, but I'm going to guess around 286.
286 cosmetic items. Brian, is that correct?
286 is incorrect. Aww. Mush Potatoes, is the correct answer higher or lower than 286?
So does this like count like all the like seasonal stuff like that they do for Christmas and whatever?
Yeah, sure does.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I didn't know that.
Okay. He can adjust. You know what? We'll let you adjust your number for that if you'd like. That's fine.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to stick with my answer.
All right. He'll stick with it. 286.
I'm going to say it's probably a lot higher than that.
Yeah, I'm gonna check with the judges and see, but I have a feeling you might be onto something. Let's find out. Is that correct?
Congratulations.
It's absolutely correct.
You're a winner.
There are 2,060 items in the game right
Holy
now.
Holy Moses.
Listen, you know why this is high? Because they got to make their money, man. This is their tail end of how to keep that game rolling and make money on the back end, and this is how they do it. People buy loot boxes and get all these items. It's working out for them just fine. 2,060 items in the game. You have won the Wonder Woman desk clock and code for Cave Blazers. All you got to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he'll hook you up. I guess, Brian, you give him the code as well.
I'll give him the code as well. Yeah. I've got it right here.
Yeah, and if you want that any quicker, like via, the chat room or
true.
Something,
I
just
could,
let us know.
Yeah, actually, I could just... I see him in the chat room. I could just actually send it to him.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, do a little private message or whatever. But congratulations, man. And it's nice to hear from the Mush Potatoes. It's always good to have you in there, dude.
All right. Thanks very much.
Have a fantastic day. We'll see you later. Good luck with your coffee. Hey, Dunaway, you got anything special going on you want to tell the fine folks about? There's a boop show today, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We're going to do a boop show today live at 5:30, unless Scott takes a nap.
3:30 my time, 5:30 your time.
Oh.
And yes, last week I fell asleep and then woke up after the show was supposed to start. So what did we record, like 2 hours later or something like that? It was just lame.
Yeah, it was bad. I was walking around going, I hope he's not dead. Yeah. I hope he's not dead.
Yeah, he sent me all these messages. Please don't be dead. Don't be dead, please. Please don't be dead. But I was not. I was just dead to the world. I fell asleep and that was that. But we'll be fine today. I'm feeling wide awake. So we'll have ourselves a fantastic time together and with you live at 5:30 Eastern. That's 2:30 here. Or no, sorry, 3:30 Mountain Time if that's when you set your clock. Brian Dunaway is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Follow him there. Stay out of trouble.
Heading to Starbucks.
And we'll see you later. How do I hang up on you? This is the part I don't know. Yeah. Hold on. Oh, he has video today.
Am I
he
still
has video.
Here?
I know. I didn't notice the video until... Did he just turn that on?
Yeah.
I've had it on for like the last 5 minutes.
Have you really? Okay, how do I just...
This is great. I don't know. I'm going to stay for the rest of the show. I like it.
No, this is good.
I can hang up, sure, but...
No. You should stay until I figure this out. Oh, I think I figured it out. So now I can go... No, not remove friend. I don't want that. How do I move? Oh, remove from group. Yep, he's out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, see?
Oh, there you go. So you just add to group, move from group.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. It's a red text that was throwing me because everything else in there is white, and the little red text that said remove from group for some reason was as being blind to it.
Gotcha.
But now I see it. Now I see the
Listen,
error.
Dunaway, we could always mute you. Don't think that you're just stuck in the show if we...
Yeah.
We let you stay.
Yeah, you little turd monkey. All right, we're going to talk real quick here about LinkedIn Learning. Episodes brought to you by them, featuring Lynda content, the leader in online learning for the past 20 years, man. 20 freaking years. Jeez. Two kids lived to be 10 years old. One kid lived to be 20 during that time. It's simple math, but you get my point. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for achievers, for people who want to stay ahead in their careers. Maybe you want to stay on top of the latest technology, prep for your CompTIA certification, or keep your organization's network secure. I'm talking to you, IT professionals or wannabes out there. Everything you need to do is right there on LinkedIn Learning, and you can learn it for yourselves. It's for IT professionals. LinkedIn Learning is your ultimate resource to keep your skills fresh. Some popular courses include data science and analytics careers and certifications, DevOps foundations, CISSP exam prep and cert prep, ITIL foundations. Whether you're looking to sharpen your skills, prepare for certification, or just stay ahead of the curve, LinkedIn Learning is a powerful tool to have in your arsenal. Quickly find the stuff you need right away from their extensive library. Explore course recommendations curated just for you. I've taken all the Adobe stuff a couple times in some cases because I'm always needing to stay up to scratch on that stuff, and I love it. Learn at your own pace using the method you prefer and get transcripts of each video if you prefer to read it later. No hidden charges or upsells. Access to all the courses you want for all one monthly price. Available worldwide and anywhere you want to get it. Computer, tablet, mobile device, whatever. We've got a special deal for you. You can get free 30-day trial of LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. It's all lowercase. We thank them for sponsoring the show. Let's do a little morning news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Jell-O cookies. The first make them in the microwave and the refrigerator.
Have you ever had a Jell-O cookie?
I have not.
Okay, let me explain how these work. So Nick and his couple of his friends and Kim got all the ingredients for you. You buy a bunch of Jell-O, and you use Jell-O mix in your cookie mix. So if it's orange Jell-O or lemon Jell-O or whatever, you put whatever the amount is inside of your mix, and then when you end up with is like sugar cookies that are infused with like Jell-O flavors, and they're kind of awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like those should go in the terrible cookbook, but Kim acted like they were kind normal.
But
so.
they don't offer any other sort of addition or anything. For some reason, I was thinking it was like, you know, you do those hollowed out cookies that usually have jelly in the middle,
mm-hmm.
but then you fill them with Jell-O.
Oh, see, that's not a bad idea either. Like in the fridge, let them set up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, but I think that they probably absorb into the cookie. I don't know.
Good point. What's cool about these is if you did them, you could do them in real time while you're mixing the dough so that you created big streaks of color, and then you'd cook them like that and they'd come out like big swath of red from the Jell-O. But you didn't get it in all of the cookies, so the rest of the cookies kind of white or whatever. So you end up with these like really trippy looking, Christmassy looking cookies. So it had a visual element as well. Anyway, they're really, really good.
Interesting. Yeah. All right.
I was surprised. I came out of that going, really? These are weird. And then they were great. They were really good.
Cool. By the way, chat room, yeah. Wait until you hear my Kevin Spacey impersonation coming up later.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be great. Or I can't wait.
We can't wait.
Wait. A Des Moines man. That's Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Des Moines man. Does he have a power, or what are we doing with him? Does he have a power?
Abel. I got nothing. I've never been to Des Moines, but we had the Des Moines Register as a customer, but I still couldn't tell you thing one about Des Moines. Like, what is Des Moines known for?
Having a weird name that looks like it's pronounced Des Moines.
Yes.
That's it.
Des Moines man still pronounces it Des Moines. Excelsior.
Not a very good Des Moines man if he still says that, no. But whatever. Baby steps.
The worst Des Moines man.
Well, a Des Moines man or Des Moines woman has told police that her husband, who is the man in question, used a sandwich to assault her.
Now, are we talking $5 footlong from Subway, or are we talking like a, your basic two slices of white bread with some bologna?
You are close on the back end, although it's a McDonald's McChicken sandwich is the one. Which aren't very good, by the way. They load them up.
No,
with too
but they've
much
got
mayo.
That rough edge from the deep frying.
That's true. The Des Moines Register reports that. Oh,
how did I miss this? Kevin Kipper says it was a club sandwich. All right, we're done. Thanks, we're done. Kevin Kipper wins the show.
He always wins. Are you kidding? The guy's just full of win. The Des Moines Register reports that 21-year-old Marvin Hill II. Boy, this is early, 21, dude. Just don't do your major crimes till later in life.
No.
Was arrested Tuesday. Polk County jail records say he remained in custody on Wednesday on a charge of domestic abuse assault. That's one phrase, I guess. Domestic abuse
Marvin
assault.
Marvin Hill II doesn't sound like somebody who hit somebody with a sandwich. Sounds like somebody who hit somebody with a golf club.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Or a lacrosse stick.
Yeah. Hold my 9-iron, Lovey, while Marvin. He's smashing them.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Marvin Hill. Could you hand me that salami on rye? I'm going to hit somebody.
You did a really good Jim Backus.
Thanks.
It's pretty damn good. Anyway, he has no attorney yet. Initially, Hill told officers his wife had assaulted him, and he was awakened about 1 p.m. holding a McDonald's McChicken sandwich. I feel like they're burying the lead again. Why are you asleep with a McDonald's McChicken sandwich in your hand? He had later acknowledged that he became upset and threw the sandwich at his wife because he just doesn't like them. Officers say Hill's wife had mayonnaise on her shirt and face when they talked to her. She said Hill also smashed the bun into her face.
Oh,
that's a pretty good story. It just got better.
It is really, it's funny. Like, you know what? I'm leaving this on for the cops coming. I'm gonna make sure they see what you did, yeah. Marvin.
Yeah, they're gonna see what you've done. I can see this mayonnaise you done put on my face.
Authentic Des Moines accents, yeah, right there. Is what we were doing.
I'm sure. I know we have some Des Moines listeners. They'll have to pipe in and tell us how poorly we got that.
Sure.
Everyone's got like a local or regional accent everywhere, right? Like every section of the country, I feel like. I know there's a Utah accent. I can tell you. I could.
Kind of.
In fact,
I'll
do it for you. Here it is right here. I'm going to give it to you. This is the. I don't really have it that much, but once in a while I'll say a word that comes from it or something. And I think even like waint or instead of saying crayon,
both.
Crayon. Things like that. But this is how it would sound if you're like an older person in Utah. This is what they sound like. Now listen, if you're going to come down to the to hang out with us at the picnic, you're going to want to make sure you bring a little bit of extra cheese there. Like there, you can get that, and it's almost a little Midwestern, but it's definitely a Utah kind of deal.
Yeah, it's very, very faint, but I feel like no matter what part of the country you go to, the people there think that they sound normal.
Yep.
And that everybody else has the accent.
Right.
And that's the way I feel about Denver. I feel like we don't have any twang or goofy ways of pronouncing things or anything like that. Like we don't take the G off of the end of words. We don't we don't have the Malibu talk like California. But again, California people look at Colorado and say, Oh my god, this guy's in Colorado, man. He talks so funny.
Yeah. It's true. All of these things are true. Yeah. It's just Alabama where you can pick it out really the strongest. No offense, Alabamans.
Right.
Don't vote not for Roy Moore. That's the only thing I would say.
Vote not for Roy Moore.
Speaking of which, Trump's in town today. He's here in Salt Lake City for a hot 3 hours or something.
He's there to reduce the size of two of your national parks. Congratulations.
Yeah but there's supposedly about 20,000 protesters up at the Capitol right now.
Sure.
Who are pretty pissed about this. So I don't know why he wants to do that. It doesn't actually make sense to do what he wants to do.
According to the news, and I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt because I don't know the full story, but I hear that there was a big federal land grab fairly early on in Utah that made a couple of national parks a little bit bigger than they needed to be. So I don't know. I mean, how do you know if a national park is bigger than it needs to be? But
yeah. Like at some point, I mean, at what point is Teddy Roosevelt rolling in his grave since this was his big initiative? I don't know. Like, I feel like we should preserve as much as we can. If you don't, people develop it, move in, buy it. Rich people end up with giant, sprawling, idiot houses up in these places. Like, why do we want that?
Right.
Like, keep some of this stuff pristine the best you can.
Exactly.
It's not a hippie thing.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's not a hippie thing. He was a damn Republican, and so are many presidents since then who upheld those ideas. So this is just on his long list of shit to ruin. Like, just put your list away. Quit blaming your tweets on your lawyer.
Right.
And go drink something.
By the way, did I mention I fired Flynn?
I fired him. I fired him. Oh, wait. Well, that means you're complicit. My lawyer wrote that. I didn't write it. That wasn't me.
Sorry, I think this ends the political.
Yeah, we're done. We don't do this very often, so give us, you got to give us one or two once in a while.
It's hard, so hard not to, people, when there's so much crap going on.
It's really hard.
We try to be good.
Yeah.
We try to be true.
Well, in other lunch meat news, 227 pounds of contraband bologna seized at the U.S.-Mexican border. More than 200 pounds of the stuff, unclaimed contraband bologna, was seized there, according to a CBS affiliate. A woman driving up into the U.S. through Paso del Norte, that crossing there, she was told by Customs and Border Patrol agents she wasn't carrying, she said she wasn't carrying fruits, vegetables, meat, or contraband. But then she did say she was carrying sausage, and officials say they found 227 pounds of Mexican bologna stashed under floor mats of the vehicle. Now, Brian, you may not know this, but Mexican bologna is bologna with real sugar. That's
Is it? Okay, none of that high fructose corn syrup.
No. If you're going to sweeten
Mexican
your bologna.
Mexican bologna sounds like French burritos. Like, it sounds like a completely wrong thing.
It sounds bad, doesn't it? Sounds bad.
Some contraband Mexican bologna.
I wouldn't eat it. Let's see. The woman was given $1,000.
If we had the wall, this wouldn't happen. They'd be trying to throw the bologna over the wall.
Yeah.
But it's too high, so it'd fall back down on them and crush them.
Plus,
sad.
Plus it'd be, transparent, so we'd see him throw it. Sad. I'd keep it for myself.
We got a big bologna problem in here in the United States. Some bad hombres with their bad contraband bologna, thanks to the last administration. Total disaster.
Okay, look, that might be fun to do once in a while. Just have a little, Trump voice. I don't have a problem with it.
I'm fine with that.
We've avoided it for a long time, but maybe there's some catharsis in there. Anyway.
Maybe I'll replace my Stan Lee with Trump. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Just those words.
The best baloney. Excelsior.
Excelsior.
I have the best Earth, too. Best Earth, too. Bologna is considered contraband because of its potential to introduce foreign diseases into the U.S. The pork industry, that sort of stuff. They have these rules. Mm. In May, officials say they seized 30 rolls of Mexican bologna at the port of entry in Santa Teresa in New Mexico. CBP Santa Teresa acting port director Jesse Proctor. I bet that guy gets a finger up the butt once in a while.
The Proctor?
Yeah.
Proctor.
Says that said at the time that travelers can avoid fines by declaring all agricultural items they are importing from Mexico, unquote. Did you ever get stopped for fruit from California? Because we did once. Yeah? What'd you have to
do? Totally. Well, we didn't have any. But they do, the Department of Agriculture right there at the border stops you and says, you guys carrying any fruit out of California? It's like, nope, we ate all of our fruit in California. Let us go to Reno. Get off our back.
Yeah, lay off. I mean, we had, I remember this very vaguely. So my sisters and my parents or somebody could have a different version of the story. But I remember coming home from, going to California. I think coming out of California. I don't remember. But we had fruit that we bought at a grocery store. And it wasn't like we picked it off some tree. But when the border dude asked if we had fruit, my dad didn't know. So he just said no.
Okay.
And my memory is they had dogs out sniffing around the thing that confirmed we had fruit. So they came in and got the fruit out of the motorhome we had. And I don't remember if we got fined or in trouble. I don't remember how it went. I was too young. But yeah, there was like some kind of fruit gate back then for us.
So even if you were to, let's say you were to make a trip from Utah to California.
Yeah.
And pass through... Do you go through? No, I guess you don't have to go through Nevada. You can just go straight, straight west to like Northern California,
right?
Yeah,
it depends on where. Yeah, if our goal is like San Francisco, we can avoid Nevada.
Right. So you drive across, but you pack a cooler full of snacks and stuff, and some of those snacks might include some grapes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You go do your San Francisco deal. You go Lombard Street. You go to Fisherman's Wharf. You do whatever you're going to do.
Sure.
And then you come back. You still got some grapes. The Utah grapes. That visited California with you.
Yeah,
you can't take those back out of California, right?
I think that's like the
once
deal.
Once they've entered California, they could get the is it for the fruit fly? What is it for? It's for
it's a bug thing, isn't it?
It is. I think so. Yeah.
Some kind of they don't want some specific California laws or something, but it has to do with some vermin that happen with fruit, or I don't know. It's weird. I feel like it never was really explained to us. As foreigners to that state, nobody in California has ever really been able to properly explain this to me. And these are people that don't even have freaking grocery bags anymore. You got to pay for them now. I was in that Target when I was there in Anaheim. And they're like, you want grocery bags? Well, yeah. Well, you got to pay for them. What? Yeah, they're 10 cents a piece. Well, what's that for? Well, these are dirty old recycled from toilet paper bags that you use to put your stuff in, and you pay for them because that's the new tax and that helps pay for roads or something. Right. And I thought, all right, whatever, you bunch of hippie freaking hippies.
I'm thinking about this. It's like, yeah, you can't go. I mean, unless you're going to go up north around through what, Montana and down Washington, you got to go through Nevada.
Do you have to cut through?
You guys share the same northern border.
Maybe it's Arizona I can avoid. Maybe that's
definitely you can avoid Arizona.
Because go to Vegas, I can't. I have to go.
You have to go through that little tiny chunk of Arizona, which is really pretty. Mm-hmm. All those rocks. But man, when there's construction going on there, it's a nightmare to get through.
It's the worst. I hate it. And a lot of times you don't know before you go on a little trip down there. So we're gonna find out way early before our April thing so that we decide whether we're driving or flying, because I don't want to fight that.
We're definitely flying.
Yeah, one quick thing I was going to say. What was it? I forgot.
It was something about the April TMS event in Vegas, last weekend of April. Stay tuned for more information.
Yes, that. But also, what was it? Damn it. It was about borders and fruit. I can't think of it. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, I'm here. I'm going to make an apology. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on to your butts, because Scott's about to apologize for something that he's done a lot of in the past, and he would like to now make amends for it. So if you're listening and you're between the ages of, let's say, 18 to 35, this is my apology to you. Who might I be speaking to? The millennials. Interesting. I have decided that I am no longer going to, even in a teasing way, which has mostly been all I've ever done,
of course,
making fun of the quote-unquote millennials who are a bunch of... lazy
avocado toast loving,
yeah, hipster buttholes with
wearing knit caps in the summertime, and
they think everything's just gonna come their way for free. They don't know how to work, and like all those stereotypes. I'm done pushing those, and here's why. It occurred to me the other day, very suddenly and abruptly, that they treated our generation the same. Generation X had the same crap levied against them, and the generation before us the same crap. So what you have now is you have baby boomers in charge and in power, and they're the ones being dicks to millennials. But the baby boomers they were the hippies and the freaking beatniks and the layabouts.
So you're breaking the cycle, is what you're saying, Scott? You're going to try and break
for me personally, I'm breaking the cycle. Mm-hmm. I can't break it for everybody, but I feel bad that I've ever even said the term dirty millennial, because it's like when people called us a bunch of unwashed Gen Xers who didn't have any kind of idea what they wanted to do with their lives. It's the same pattern every time, and it started to hit me that it's every single generation does this. Every single one. And what's prompted it is I was looking at just like random websites. I'd be on like some news site, and there's 15 articles all the time going, these millennials want your Christmas money. Or how these young millennial upstarts plan to change the... It's like, dude, we got to stop doing this. It's bad to label people like this. So I'm done with it. No more.
Did baby boomers... I can't even remember like hearing anything like a derogatory term.
Oh, those baby boomers.
Well, they were the group that were the 60s hippies. Mm-hmm. So I think they just didn't have... I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know if the term baby boomer itself was negative, but their generation certainly got a lot of heat. They're a bunch of deadbeats who wanted to be socialists and live in a cave. And part of what prompted this, too, is I heard an old man, and when I say old man, he was probably 78 this weekend, say, well, their problem is we have an old folks home near us. So there's a lot of old people with a lot of old ideas over there. and they're super like they're very well to do because this place costs like $8,000 a month to live there, so it's just like retirement community. And this guy says, hey, you know, this whole group, they don't know how to work, they don't know how to do nothing, they just want to be socialists. We're heading toward a socialist society because of these millennials. And I looked at him and went, dude, A, you're going to be dead in 3 years or less.
Yeah.
And B, come on. Like, knock it off. Exactly. You all do this every time. And everyone turns out okay. So cut it out. So I'm done. I'm not.
We're breaking the
cycle. I apologize to all. And to all of our thousands and thousands of millennial listeners, I'm sad and sorry. I know you know I didn't mean it, but I'm sorry I ever called you a dirty millennial. You're just a young, rad person coming up who's going to be in charge soon when we're all dead. So. So good luck to you.
Before we get to this next the Nugget story, can I give you a this just in?
Uh-oh, beep, 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 beep.
Right hot off the presses, Netflix has announced they are working on a final season of House of Cards in 2018 without Kevin Spacey. So it's just going to be
Robin Wright. I thought that was old news. Isn't that old news?
Hold on. Is it really?
I think so.
This is the first I'd heard of it.
October 30th. Let's see. Hold on. House
12/04/2017, 9:27 a.m. Pacific time.
Maybe it was just rumored
5 minutes ago.
It may have just been rumored before. This might be confirmation.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Monday's update, wildly speculated.
Yeah, that's
follows
what it was.
The streaming giant's November 3rd decision to sever ties with Spacey. But yeah, okay. So it's official. It's going to be an 8-episode final season, just starring Robin Wright.
What are they going to do with him?
They have to figure out a smart way to write him out of the story, which is
very curious.
Either assassination or prison or something.
Very curious about how they decide to do that.
Right.
I hope it's assassination.
It's always be like looking at him behind his back.
Yeah.
Like he'll be Claire talking, Claire Underwood, and then he'll always just see him from the back, and you'll just have a great impersonator. You'll have Frank Caliendo doing his best Southern Kevin Spacey.
I would love that. It would be so cheesy and dumb, but I would love it. That would be amazing. Right. All right, well, we'll see. All right, there you go. Confirmation. I love it. Well done, Brian. You're our crack news reporter on the street.
Apparently not, but okay, fine.
some drunk Australian people just wanted some McNuggets. That's the title of our next story here. At 5 a.m. on Remembrance Day, a 30-year-old Australian man, Cole Olson, pulled up to a Sydney's McDonald's drive-thru window after a night of heavy drinking. His order was 200 McNuggets.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait, have we done this story?
We have done this.
Yeah, it sounds familiar to me, too. Wait, hold on. Oh, yeah, this is a story we've done. Moving on. Chinese couple.
Move on from McNuggets to roaches.
Yeah, here you go. Chinese couple had 200 roaches in an airport hand luggage. That's like your carry-on. This is according to the BBC. Custom officials at a Chinese airport had a nasty surprise when they opened a couple's luggage and discovered it contained not contraband, not drugs, not condoms, but hundreds of live cockroaches.
Did you pack your luggage for you or for yourself, or did somebody pack it for you?
Has your luggage been with you all the time? 2 weeks. Let's see. There was a white plastic bag with lots of black items moving inside, says guard Zhu Yu.
Zhu Yu Yu.
He told the Kang Kang News. Kang Kang. One of the staff opened their luggage and a roach crawled out of it. She almost cried, Mrs. Zhu said. Asked when they were transporting or why they were transporting the cockroaches, the husband told officials that they were in were an ointment for his wife's skin. Oh. How's that? You got to crush them down.
Oh, so look at that. This is how they figured out how to get by that whole 3 ounces of liquid thing. Keep the 3 ounces of liquid still inside the creature that creates it.
Yeah, keep it in roach form.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's about 100.
Hey,
yeah.
The 3 ounces. I don't have 3 ounces of liquid. I just have a bag full of 200 cockroaches.
Now we know the conversion rate. How many cockroaches does it take to make a single ounce of goo? He did not say what her condition was.
For the plane.
He says they were part of an old folk remedy. You mix the roaches with some medicine cream and put it on your skin. Hmm. What the hell's the medicine cream? Let's see. Beijing Youth Today says, must be some magazine or something.
Yeah.
That because living organisms are not permitted on flights and hand luggage, the couple chose to leave them with the security staff. The fate of the cockroaches is currently unknown.
I have a really strong, I have a guess.
Yeah. I bet I know where they're at now.
Yeah.
I don't want to say.
Swimming through the plumbing system at the airport.
Yep.
Making their way to the sewer.
Yeah. And they're fine. They live through anything. They'll be fine. They'll just go on.
Yeah, we'll just have breeded a super cockroach now from that.
Yeah. Wonder cock. Or what? That just didn't come out. Came out wrong, didn't it?
Jamie, you got that one?
Yeah, you got that one, buddy. We got a great mashup from him later in the show.
Oh, good.
Yep,
he's super
into it. In fact, he's made a Twitter account called TMS Mashups now.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think he's committed. Hey, after this break, we're going to come back and talk to Steven Schleicher from Major Spoilers. Of course, the Trek nerd will be with us. I don't know what we're talking to Daryl about, but something, I'm sure. I don't know what, but something. So that'll come up. But before all of that, why don't we sing a song of light fare?
Let's do that. And we're going to go to Ireland this time.
Ooh.
To a performer named Dara J. Brady, who just goes by the name Dara, D-A-R-R-A. He's a musician from Ireland, but he's also been in the UK national charts, dance charts, 2 top 40 songs. Normally writes dance music, and he's done music and then remixed stuff like Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Tears for Fears, etc. But this is his first solo. I'm sorry, this is a follow-up to his first solo album, which came out in 2010. This album coming out is called Back from the Brink. From that album, we're listening to a song called Phenomenal. Here is Dara.
I'm guys, let's talk about Action Heat real quick. This episode's brought to you by Action Heat. They make the world's best heated clothing. That's right, heated clothing powered by rechargeable batteries. It's freaking cold today. It's like 26 degrees Fahrenheit where I live. I could sure use myself some Action Heat today. It's the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid of winters. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your entire body. It included heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via these panels. Similar to what you get when like a heated car seat. You've had one of those? It works like that. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees if you so want. And are powered by a rechargeable low-voltage lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. This could be a great thing if you ever get stuck someplace. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Available in men's and women's styles. Heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. Oh, man. We got a special deal for our listeners today. 15% off your entire order. Just go to action-heat. That's action-heat.com/TMS and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's action-heat.com/TMS and use the coupon code TMS at checkout to save 15%. Toasty, toasty warm.
Oh, yeah. I hear you've been giving that to a lot of people lately. Otis tells me you and Pat Romero had some kind of discussion along those lines.
Why doesn't the government stick Otis out on the beach somewhere and use him for radar? Let him look for flying saucers.
Rick, there's no sense in acting like a child.
The name is Diamond.
Since when?
Since 2 hours of solid sitting, Lieutenant.
Okay.
Tell me what you see.
Welcome to day one of the 2020 presidential campaign. This is the Morning Stream.
We're back, everybody. That was great. It didn't sound Irish, but I guess that's not the point, right? It's not supposed to sound Irish.
Also didn't sound dancey like apparently his older stuff does. So glad. Good to see him branching out and doing all these different styles. Love it.
I agree. Hey, let's get major spoilers all up in this. What do you say about that, Brian? What do you think about major spoilers? Do you like him? Do you find him pleasing?
I like major spoilers. Okay, I'm a great. Big fan.
Great. We're adding him to the call. He is maybe here. Steven, are you there? Oh, he is. He's getting in. This is new for him, too. Oh, hello. Say that again.
Are you playing with your cough button?
Yeah, was that what that was?
Oh, is there a problem?
I wish you could hear this. Hold on. You know what? You can hear this. Here, I want to play this back. Freaking, yeah. We hear you now.
Hold on.
I don't know what's the deal. What's the deal with this?
This is a new Skype is pretty crappy.
Yeah, it's a piece of garbage poo is what it is. I don't know if you knew that.
How about that? Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can totally hear you.
Cool.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, this is
now everything's working.
Well, this would be fine because now here's this. It's the guy with the news and the info. It's Major Spoiler's own Steven Schleicher from the Windy Trails of Hayes, Kansas. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Well, I should have tested that thing out with it before. I was dumb not to, but
that's all right.
Here we are now. Hey, it's good to have you on, Steven, as always, bringing us the best in pop culture, comics, news, and movies, and all that kind of good stuff over there at the Major Spoilers. And it's been a bit of a controversy since we last spoke. In fact, since we last spoke, you had told us about a new editor coming online over there at Marvel, chief editor man.
Oh, yep. Yeah, right.
C.B. How do you say it? Sibulski?
Sibulski.
Sibulski.
Yeah.
And I had made some comment that, hey, he's like you with a beard, or I can't remember what the deal was. And you said... he's got this experience and that. And we all just sort of went, all right, cool. Let's see how it goes. Moved on. Wow, this is not a week to move on from that guy because there's some weird story going on. So tell us about it. What happened?
Yeah, so if anyone has ever heard of the comic book writer Akira Yoshida, then we are talking about the exact same person. Back when Sibulski was just a regular editor at Marvel, there's a policy in place that you can't write comics if you're also an editor. So he created this false persona called Akira Yoshida, and he went out and started writing other comics. He did some stuff for Dark Horse Comics, but then in 2004, 2005, he created Elektra the Hand. So if you've read that series, or Kitty Pryde, Shadow and Flame, or some Wolverine stuff where he's back in Japan, that's all Cebulski.
Mm.
And, you know, this is a rumor that had been going around for many, many years. In fact, like 6 years ago, someone had confronted people at Marvel, and they're like, oh, no. This is a real guy. I've met him. I've talked to him. And then all of a sudden, as Cebulski is ready to touch down in New York to start his first day at work, all this news breaks. And he's like, yeah, this is me. No big deal. Marvel, I discussed it with Marvel a long time ago, and it's already been cleared up.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
There's a bigger problem with a white guy taking on a Japanese name and appropriating a lot of Japanese culture to make some money, to create some comics.
And not only that, you're dealing with a comics industry that is chock full of extremely talented Asian descent creators. Like, they it's already kind of, you know, a jobs market in comics where there's limited opportunity. And you've got a guy who's playing both ends, really, and that's lame.
So not only do we have yellow face and cultural appropriation, but we're also blocking, you know, as you said, some very creative talent that's out there in a time when Marvel really is trying to push diversity. And then when you pull back the curtain, there's a big fat white guy back there.
Wow.
That's one way to put it, yeah.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, don't look at the big fat white guy back there.
So some people have just kind of passed over on this. Oh, it's no big deal. In fact, there have actually been a couple of Asian creators that have kind of come to Cebulski's defense and said, you know, it's in the past. Let's move on. Let's go forward. But it still has that kind of nasty mark all over what Marvel is doing, especially with Cebulski as he's coming in as the new editor in chief.
Any thinking that this will adversely affect his chances of keeping this position, or is this not?
I don't think so. I think Marvel and Cebulski have both said, hey, we've dealt with it and we're moving on. I think that's all that's going to happen. This is not going to get the same attention as Eddie Berganza did, or some of the other sexual harassment cases that have popped up at different publishers in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
But I think they're just going to pass and move on. I would be really surprised if they fired him. My guess is he moved from an editor position to that talent scout position as a direct result of Marvel finding out that he was Akira Yoshida.
Oh, interesting. What a weird thing, though. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, no kidding. Like, totally weird.
Why even do it? What was the point of doing it?
Well, so, I mean, if your company has a policy of you're not supposed to be moonlighting,
right?
And then you go out and say, well, if I create a different person and write under an assumed name, they'll never know it's me, and so I can get around that.
Yeah, but couldn't he have gone other white guy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big problem, right? Oh. And of course, Cebulski has said that he's a big fan of Asian culture. He really is into it. You know, he spends most of his time. He's been a year and a half already in China, but he spends a lot of time in Asia traveling around. So I think there's also some of this. I'm not going to put words into his mouth, but I think there's this belief of, yeah, I'm part of this culture, and so therefore it's okay for me to do this.
All right. Well, good luck to him. It seems like a rough start to your new gig.
Totally. Kind of an understatement.
Hey, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is coming to Netflix. Man, I can't believe my dreams are all coming true in one day.
Well, it's funny because I thought it's a Berlanti deal, isn't it?
This is a Berlanti production, and a couple of months ago, this was all set to go at the CW. But apparently, I don't know what CW is thinking. Maybe they've got a too crowded marketplace, too many shows already. But it looks like Netflix is going to be picking up the show for a 2-season, 10-episode each season run, which is interesting because the CW, if it would have gone a full season, would have been like 20, 22 episodes. So it's almost like they're taking the CW one season and splitting it up into 2 seasons over at Netflix.
Interesting. So what's the thinking in terms of...
Berlanti Productions, Warner Brothers is still involved in this. Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who is the creator of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and the chief creative officer at Archie Comics, is still working on this, is still the showrunner. Leo Toland, Krieger, is still directing the show. So it's almost like they're just like, hey, we've got this bundled package. Netflix, you want it instead of the CW? And Netflix is stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
So that's really weird. That might mean that it could get a little bit edgier. It could get a little bit darker.
That that may be the thing, because not to give too much away about what goes on in the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but it has a very, you know, Stepford Wives kind of vibe in the story, but also in that late 60s, early 80s art.
Yeah.
And there's some very weird themes that are running right now. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, I think, has 9 issues out. It is severely delayed a lot of times because of Roberto working on the CW stuff that he works with. But in the last little spoiler here, in the last arc, Sabrina's warlock father has taken possession of her boyfriend's body.
Oh.
And there's still, the way things were left, there's still some romantic ties between the two of them.
I don't understand how that all that Archie
shit. Gets into some. Well, this is the darker Archie. I mean, this is the Roberto is the one who brought in Afterlife with Archie, which is the zombie horror story.
Yeah.
He's the one that championed the new Archie run that's going on with Mark Waid and a bunch of really talented artists. So this is something that has really put Archie on the map, both Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Afterlife with Archie, and the Archie comic itself. Those three right there are three power comics that people should probably pick up and read.
So Dark Archie, can we just call it Darchie?
Darchie, yeah. Oh, there's also a Jughead is a werewolf series that has just kicked off too.
Oh, how's that? Have you read that?
I have read the first issue, and it's pretty good. I have not read issue 2 yet. I haven't seen issue 2 yet. So.
Yeah. Do they still have just a straight up Archie comic?
They do. Yeah. They do. They have the straight up, you know, the classic style, the parent style that they've been using for years. In fact, they've got a kind of a weird project going on, and I forget what the actual title of the series is called, but they're taking. So all the times when you go to the checkout store and you see those digests, they'll have stories from like decades worth of Archie reprinted in those.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things they're doing now is they're taking some of those old stories, and instead of having Archie and Jughead with, you know, these big 1970s flared bell bottoms and funky hats, they're keeping the same story but redoing the art.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, but just because they don't want to rewrite a bunch of stuff? Or
well, because I think that once you open up a comic and you, well, that could be part of it too, but these digests sell extremely well.
Yeah.
But I think if a kid opened it up and said, what are these people wearing? They're going to pass. But if you can redo the art style and make it updated, then, you know, kids might be into it. And it's funny to read some of these digests because just think about what kids were wearing 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and all that's represented in those digests right now.
I feel like you'd want to see the originals, you know? Like, I want to see Jughead with flared out bell-bottom pants. I think that's great.
No, no, you don't.
No. I really don't, do I?
Especially when they're all running. The one you really don't want to see is when they're running around in their surfer outfits from the late 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
Where it's all the cut-off shorts and the
That's not
the,
a good
the
one.
Hipster wear and all that stuff. Yeah, it really looks odd.
I imagine so. But but through the whole thing, Jughead's always got to wear that dumb hat, right? The stupid hat's
the
always
crown
there.
Hat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's stupid.
The little pokey hat.
Even when he's a werewolf. Yeah.
It's like a knit cap that just has some bumps in it.
Oh,
yeah,
that
you
how they
should
do
see
that?
Him when he's a zombie. He's still got that cap on. It's great.
Does he have it as a werewolf? Does he have it on?
I can't remember. I have to look at the cover and see if he does, but I'm pretty
sounds,
sure he does.
That sounds super stupid to me to see that on a werewolf. Like, he's got nothing else on but that damn hat. That's a terrible idea.
Big old J on his chest.
This is all bad ideas. Well, all right. Good luck to them. Hey, comic book recommendation for the week. The Watchmen, the annotated edition. What does HC stand for? What does that mean?
Hardcover.
Oh, hardcover. How is that? Is that good?
I have not read this, but this is something that I think people who are, we were talking last week about the Doomsday Clock, how it ties into Watchmen.
Yeah.
And if you've ever read Watchmen, there are multiple layers of reading that you can go into this, including the 9-panel symmetry that runs throughout the entire 12-issue arc. Well, Watchmen, the annotated edition, goes through page by page and panel by panel and examines what's going on in the story and the art and in the influence that this book had on comics culture in this volume. So if people really want to get their nerd on and want to get some learning about how influential Watchmen is and how deep it goes into storytelling, this is a book that they might want to pick up. It is out actually next week in the hardcover on the 12th. Right now on Amazon, it's $33. So
super
sounds like a good gift for people who are really into Watchmen.
Yeah, why isn't it in color, though? Why is it all black and white?
I think because it's cheaper, because this volume is going to be thicker than the actual version of the Watchmen, and if you're going in panel by panel or page by page and having lots of text descriptions with this, you don't want those text pages to be printed on colored paper.
Yeah, I could see that. But also, I would actually argue that the weakest part of that comic, and part of it is because it was printed in the 80s and there was, mm-hmm. you know, the technology wasn't great, but the weakest thing is the color. Yeah. The black and white is so stark and awesome. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. look at this stuff.
That's cool.
I may have to pick this up. 33 yeah. right now? That's good.
33 right now.
33.99.
Yeah. It's a good deal. And really, if people want a fantastic copy of Watchmen, I'd always say go out and get the Absolute Edition. It's an oversized hardbound volume. That one's going to run like $150 if they're still printing it. Otherwise, it's going to be much higher than that. Yeah. But it's a great collection to have.
So, none of this is annotations from Alan Moore or
no. Gibbons. This is who's it? Leslie Klinger is the writer on this.
Oh, okay. She's trying to get out of the army and wears a man's pair
yes,
of pants.
That's what she wears, man's yeah. clothes.
Yeah,
yes.
that's how I understand Klinger to be. well, all right then. There it is. Check it out. Oh, it's also on Kindle for $32. Why would you do that? Freaking just
no. You want to go in and look at all the stuff. That
yeah, especially because it's the same damn price. Just buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This is what hardbound is for in the future, guys. Buying cool stuff like this. I think I totally.
Yeah,
want
I would.
This.
I would agree with you. In fact, that's kind of what I'm doing with my comics right now. Is unless there's a run that I currently love, like Batman or Flash, which I always will buy that.
Yeah.
Everything right now is either going to be digital. Or I'm waiting for great collected volumes like the Hellboy Omnibus series that Dark Horse has been putting out.
Yeah.
Fantastic, all oversized. The Omnibus collections from DC. Heck, even the Jack Kirby New Gods run that they have collected in hardcover is great to have. So I'm kind of moving my collection that way because I've filled up already one room in the house with comics and I need to do something about that.
Well, all right then. Well, you let us know how it goes. In the meantime, people should go to majorspoilers.com, check out all this rad stuff.
Yep.
It's always something to see. Anything in particular you'd like to point people to?
I would just say if people are fans of Jurassic Park, be on the lookout Thursday. The new trailer will drop. And then, of course, Star Wars coming up in a couple of weeks.
All right. The new trailer.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks, dude. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
I know.
We get to learn all about Snoke and what's his deal.
I'm all about the porgs, man.
Yeah.
Porgs.
What's going on with those porgs? You got what else? Luke Skywalker looking all disheveled and old.
And angry.
Yeah.
And scared a little bit.
Yeah, he's a little nervous there. Wants to be the last Jedi or some such. And what else you got there? You got maybe what's-her-name takes her chrome helmet off for once. And we get to see Brienne of Tarth
Brienne
in there.
Of Tarth.
Yeah. I'm very excited. This is all going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, Steven, it's always good to talk to you. Major Spoilers on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there. Take it easy, man.
Take care.
Bye,
guys.
Talk to you later. Bye.
See ya.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Skype. All right, Daryl was... Oh, the Trek nerd. Hold on. Why isn't this working?
Which one are we getting him in? Are we getting him in Discord or are we getting him in Skype?
Discord. He claims... Wait, invite to server. Oh, is he not a friend? Is that the problem?
He's not a friend. I've been kind of wanting to tell you about that offline.
But... All right, wait. Close call, invite to server, add friend. Oh, Daryl, you have to accept my friend request. I forgot to do that part. This is my fault. Just kind of a thing I forgot to do. But Daryl, you have to accept that. Okay, we got it all figured out. It's time for us to do a little this guy. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Universal Studios Star Trek Adventure. Courtesy of Paramount Pictures.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It sure is. Daryl Skeel's on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Stump a Trek Nerd. Not really, we're not stumping you today. Just wanted to come up with it's just a nostalgic thing to say. Stump a Trek Nerd, you know? Daryl is our Trek Nerd, comes on the show and we talk about Star Trek related stuff. Right now we're in a bit of a hiatus with the show Star Trek Discovery. You know what's funny is you'd sent me those connections for FilmSack and every single connection for The Void was... All of those people are working on Star Trek Discovery in some fashion.
Yeah, that was so weird when that came up.
We've never had that before. Like, that is the weirdest thing. Now, it was a small kick-started film, relatively low-profile thing, horror movie thing, that was directed by people that normally you'd associate with special effects and art direction and other things for lots of other projects. And Daryl sends me this thing, and it's like 20 people long, and all of them... Our Star Trek Discovery people, which is...
Yeah, that was so weird. I thought something was wrong with the connection machine when it spit that out.
Yeah, that was totally nuts. But I'm glad that we did it.
Daryl, it's good to have you here. What's on your mind? What's going on in the world of Star Trek? Anything fun?
Oh, what's happening? Well, we talked about that Shatner Isaacs thing.
Yeah, how'd that turn out? Did that
where Shatner blocked what's his name?
Yeah.
I want to say Isaacs.
Yeah, Chris Isaacs. Jason or Chris Isaacs? Jason.
Jason Isaacs.
Yes, that's what I was
going to say. What a wicked game you play. Why do you unfriend me that way?
Unfriend me on Twitter.
But that only lasted 2 days.
That's the that's the song that had the video with the Sandy lady in it. She was all sandy all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. She was. I remember
she's from
thinking
Sandy, Utah. As a matter of fact,
I remember she was very. I remember she was very attractive, but I kept thinking, "Oh, that sand, though, man, just go rinse
it's
off.
It's just gonna get everywhere. Oh my gosh."
Ah, the things that are in your head when
it's
you're
a 220 grit lady right there.
Yeah, that's too much. You could, although it'd be great on that piece of furniture you haven't finished in the basement. But other than that, anyway. So Daryl, sorry. So they are they friends again?
Oh yeah, okay. I think Shatner was just trying to be funny.
Oh well, he's not funny.
I know. I've been trying to understand his sense of humor for 30 years, and I still don't get it. Mm-hmm.
Do you think? I mean, I don't like predicting people's deaths, but I feel like, you know, he's getting there.
Oh, jeez.
He's getting there. You know, Shatner's been around, right? Like, he's had a long, yeah. He's almost 90 or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's looking like a good plump sausage, and he's doing just fine.
Yeah.
He might, I mean, he's not all wrinkly or looking near death or anything.
Right. He also, he keeps screaming this.
Nobody helps him!
And we don't know what to do about that. We don't know how to help him.
Iron Man!
If you guys haven't, it's been many years since we played that, what that's from, but if you've never heard him do his Iron Man thing, just YouTube that. It's incredible.
I just wish they would have used some of that for the song, for the actual released song. It felt like such a jip that you get to hear all this preparation and production, and they don't use all that
Iron Man rise again.
Yeah, why didn't they? They should have.
Iron Man lives again.
It is the best.
He's so good. Hey, another quick tiny thing. This reminded me of this. Yesterday, as I was researching, don't ask me why, I just got curious. But I was researching the Heaven's Gate people. Remember that their whole deal?
Oh, yeah, the cult, yeah.
Yeah, that killed themselves with Kool-Aid and because they thought a spaceship was going to pick them up in 97 or whatever. Their whole thing. So two things I didn't know about this with huge Star Trek connections. Number one, the cult, which started in 1977 with this dude and this girl, this lady, they based a lot of their belief systems and what they thought was going to happen on Star Trek stuff. So they were huge Star Trek nerds, and they compared a lot of what they thought was going to happen with the next evolution of human beings ascending into space.
Really?
were based on some Star Trek
all
stuff.
Star Trek? That's
yeah.
crazy.
They love Star Trek and other science fiction, but they were really into Star Trek. And then the second thing I learned was one of the guys who died that day from the Kool-Aid and the blanket on top, purple blanket and all that, was Nichelle Nichols' brother. He was in that cult.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uhura. Wow. Uhura's brother. Uhura. I'm saying,
Uhura.
Yeah, Uhura. Uhura's brother there was one of those people wearing the Nikes and all that. Remember the whole Nike shoe thing and all that? And,
oh, yeah.
Nike.
Totally right, yes.
Nike canceled those shoes because they didn't want to be associated with it.
With the Heaven's Gate cult, yeah.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I need a good documentary on that if anyone knows of one. So send me a note. Anyway, on that dark note, Daryl, what else is happening in Star Trek? Anything else fun?
Oh, what's happening? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, it's kind
Discovery is back in 34 days.
Oh, that's not very much time.
No.
That's plenty of time for me to actually catch up and watch the damn thing, isn't
it's
it?
It's like two Star Wars is away.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
it is.
Like, if you had the wait that you have for Star Wars doubled it, that'd be pretty close to what we've got to wait for.
Yeah. How long are we? Let's see. We are really, is it a week? No, 2 weeks from Star Wars? Or
week
is it
and a
week,
half from a week Star half. Wars. Yeah, I mean, it's even less than half. It's probably like three Star Wars waits away from Discovery.
Well, okay, this would be fun. Let's ask our resident Star Trek expert, Star Trek expert. What are your expectations for Star Wars, The Last Jedi?
As far as story or
any of it, are you excited?
Yeah, I think it'll do great, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you enjoy 7, the last one there?
Yeah,
that was good.
I'd heard some not so great things, but yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I think it's painted by the numbers, but it's pretty good numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. And this next one seems to want to carry that on, and that's good. And I like what's his name, Ryan Johnson there.
Right.
He's a good director, and they've given him three new sequels and stuff. He said somewhere, there was some rumor floating around that he had said he had some interest in the Star Trek franchise, but then didn't say anything beyond that. So we don't know what that means. Maybe he could get into the film party part of it. But then somebody else said, that Villeneuve dude who brought us the Blade Runner this year and what's the other last one? The alien one he did and the Sicario. Oh, Covenant. And all those. Yeah, they're not Covenant.
Was it Arrival?
Arrival, thank you. Arrival.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Right.
And the Blade Runner, he's doing Dune next. He says he wants to make a Star Wars movie. Now I am trying to imagine who I think is the new modern lord of all science fiction. I think Villeneuve is freaking incredible. Best movie this year is Blade Runner, period, straight up. So what would he do to Star Wars? That could be super interesting. And he'd want to do like a standalone Star Wars. So we'll have to wait and see if that ever comes to fruition. But man, look at all these big directors. They all want to make Star Trek, Star Wars. It's like they're living out their childhood dreams, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Anyway, well, there you go. Daryl, anything else you'd like to add today?
I think that's the complete list.
That's the whole thing. No one's celebrating any birthdays today? Famous Star Trek?
I should start looking that stuff up.
Yeah, you should. Star Trek's, we already knew it's 50th anniversary. Six Star Trek technologies that exist today. I'm going to read you these. Ready?
Cool. Yeah.
This will be fun. Cell phones. Tablets. Hold on. Kindles. Pads. Smartwatches. I don't know what the pads are, but all right.
Like the medical...
Yeah,
things
they walk around with, like that look like iPads.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Bluetooth earpieces. Speaking of Uhura. Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a lock in her ear, like a combination lock, and I always wondered why it was there.
Yeah. Devices.
It looks like one of those that you turn, the cylinder ones that you turn the little knobs.
Yeah, it's how she turned the volume up. Virtual assistants like the Amazon Echo. Very Star Trek-ian. Mm-hmm. And then finally, video calls. Yeah, there you go. That's your list, everybody. It's a good list. Daryl Skeels is the Trek Nerd. You can find him on Twitter at The Trek Nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com. Daryl, I guess. I don't know what else to say to you. Is that it? Oh, wait, now. I forgot how to remove people.
Oh, yeah, I'm stuck here.
No, this is Daryl
from group.
Okay, he's out.
Cool.
He's gone.
Get him out of the group.
And accept my friend request, damn it. I can't have you be not that. All right, there's that.
Should have walked him through that when we had him on the line.
Yeah, I probably should have. You may not hear that. I have a quick Twitter beef to take care of. Can I take care of this real quick?
Yes.
All right.
I saw this.
The AV Club Twitter account posted a link to an article they wrote that says Mad Max Fury Road might already be the best action movie ever made, and then they try to make that argument.
When did they post that? Is that like recent? Or
Hold on. I'll find out for you. That was on the 1st of December, so it was recent. Okay. So,
all right, good.
They said this, and then they make an argument for that in that article, and I retweeted it, quoted it, and said "duh" on there because, of course, it is. Might already be the best action film ever made. I agree with it. So then, Lazy Worm said, "Here's Lazy Worm. Here, I'm gonna do it in his voice. Didn't care much for Mad Max. It's too weird, and there's hardly anything to look at except dirt. Where are the letter R? All the buildings and people at?" Ha ha. And I just wanted to say, Lazy Worm, I really held back, buddy. I could have really had some fun with you on Twitter, but I didn't do it.
Now, there's part of me that's thinking the ha ha is
like the whole
thing's he's having fun with this and making light of it, like, you know, like I'm joking with you, like I'm pulling your chin, I'm pushing your buttons kind of thing.
Sure, it totally could be. There's no reason to believe that he could just be being facetious and funny. It's entirely possible. But you know how sensitive my Mad Max nerve is.
You just tweak it.
It's like your tooth being pulled and a little nerve hanging out of your gum hole and you're just like flicking it. It's kind of like that.
It is. It's an exposed nerve and he's just like, I'm going to do this and then ha ha.
Yep. Right on.
That's what I'm thinking. That's the ha ha is what makes me feel that maybe there's something else afoot, a little jokey joke going on.
You're probably right. By the way, thank you, Captain Kipper, in the chat room. Found a Heaven's Gate documentary on YouTube. I'm going to watch that.
Oh, cool. Good.
Super into that stuff. I don't know why. I get so curious.
I like the image that it shows. It's that one we all saw on the news, the purple sheet draped over the top of a dude with the Nike shoes underneath.
Yep, that is the visual, isn't it? And it's hard to get it out of your head.
And by the horrible wood paneling room.
By the time they found those people, it had been many days, and it was a hot summer, and they didn't have any AC, and so all these people are like bloated and gross, and you know, decaying and stuff. It's pretty bad. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'll just watch my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You enjoy that documentary.
Sure will. Sure will. speaking of the funny, let's bring it with this mashup from Jamie. This is great stuff, and it's comprising episodes. Hold on. Let's see. Episodes 1382 to 1385.
Okay.
And it's a good time. Check it out.
Time is money, friend.
Why is everybody fighting?
Unless you're shooting fireworks out of your boobs. Count me out.
She will. Of course she's going to be shooting fireworks out of her boobs. She's roaring her way over here. She's fireworking. She feels like a plastic bag.
Can you tell me about the fire stick? What is it, and what does it do?
Hey, I'm George Bush, man.
Putting his own poo on some barley.
How do you like them space apples?
Oh, hey, Captain. What's the plank going to be made of today? Do we have a concrete plank today, by chance?
That Bangers album, total disaster. Total disaster.
It's much smaller. I mean, this is it right here. It's like the size of a large Twinkie. That's one big Twinkie.
How many fingers should one get? Three fingers? How does that work? Three, two fingers? What do you want?
It's on how big your cup is.
Yeah, or how big your fingers are, man.
Paul Ryan probably has some weird, like, model train fetish or something. Like,
well, he wears, like, an engineer hat, but is otherwise naked.
And he's sticking his willy in the tunnel, and it's, like, it's a weird scene.
I remember getting harassed by Rudolph Valentino when he made a comment about my bosom. Hey, I'm not going to do this anymore, Scott. I'm done.
I would happily put that in my mouth. Skype can bite my chode.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, shit. We're going to find out that the guy who runs Comcast has got his wiener out right now, as far as we know. You notice that?
We'll come to Xandar. We'll have a few laughs.
He totally looks like Bruce Willis. Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh, it's terrible.
Wow. Oh, this is terrible.
Wow.
Ty.
Have you been arrested in a foreign country for taking pictures in front of national monuments with your buttocks exposed?
With your tuchus?
There are four lights, and also I don't like the Jews.
Wow. That's a great one, dude.
I can't believe Jerry was trying to make it sound like that was me saying that and not me, you know,
making fun of the thing
implying
he used to
an
said.
Alternative Earth Patrick Stewart saying that.
Yeah, yeah, totally. He likes, well, whatever. He likes, he's a lord of chaos.
He is.
He's trying to
sparking up some controversy.
Trying to
Jerry,
freak it out. Before we get out of here, tell us about Soundography and David Wilcox.
So, just posted this morning a brand new episode of Soundography featuring American singer-songwriter folk musician David Wilcox. There's a Canadian one, not that one. That's not the one we did. We did the American one, David Wilcox. You probably know him for a song called Eye of the Hurricane, which was a big hit in the 90s, about a woman who likes speed, like driving her motorcycle real fast and what happened to her. Soundography, boy, we talk about some great stuff in this one and discover what I think is one of the greatest live albums ever done, which was one that he recorded in front of the East Asheville Hardware Store. Mm-hmm. And you got to check it out. It's soundography.com, latest episode up and ready for you to download and consume.
Yeah, that sounds great. You guys are doing killer stuff over there.
We are. We're recording the last episode of this season today, all about the Beastie Boys, and then we're going to take a few weeks off, get season four ready to roll, and maybe work on that other project.
Sounds good to me. Excellent news. Well, all right then. Patreon.com/TMS is a great place for you to support the show. If you like what we do here and you'd like to see it continue, expand, and grow, why, by gum, that's the place to do it. Patreon.com/TMS. We are streaming every day right here at frogpants.tv. All the details you'd ever need to know are at frogpants.com/TMS. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville. I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show is at Morning Stream. Let's get out of here with some music. Tomorrow, by the way, is a normal day, so Bill and Jury and all that. So come back for that. And then
What else? Oh, yeah, and don't forget 3:30 today, the Boop Show live, talking the Vidya games. Got a lot of stuff to say about some stuff I've been playing. So we'll get to all of that later today. For now, though, man, I'd sure like a nice song.
A song? I've got a nice song.
Okay.
Mario Pierre Antoni from Antwerp, Belgium wrote in and said, "Dear Brian and Scott, sometimes you don't need a special occasion to play an awesome song. So play this when you can. Earlier this year, I discovered a French band called Carpenter Brut. They have a very cool sound, at least I think so. They started writing music as Carpenter Brut, but with the intention of mixing sounds from horror films, metal, rock, and electronic music. Obviously, with your film sack background, I thought of you guys. There's also a video that goes along with it. It's a little NSFW, but it's got a lot of horror movie clips. Be sure to check out their other music. It's a riot and has an 80s vibe to it. I can see why you'd like it."
Aww.
Smiley winky face.
Nice.
"I can definitely see why you like it.
Love the show. Mario Pierantoni from Antwerp, Belgium." Thank you for listening to us all the way out in Antwerp, Belgium, where Tom Shane gets his rocks polished. Here is Carpenter Brut from their live album, which is cleverly called Carpenter Brut Live from this year, from 2017, with their cover of Michael Cimbello's Maniac.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
It's about Peter.